cannot be the real toe.
To keep Spain neutral and avoid any provocation which might drive Franco into an alliance with Hitler.
How did the Portuguese receive you as a British person?
I should say that I was fortunate, in particularly in my cover. It had been arranged that I should be officially an assistant military attaché. I was particularly fortunate in my nominal boss, Colonel Leslie, the military attaché, who was himself a wartime soldier and a fluent Portuguese speaker, having been much in Brazil, who was a most sensible and unfussy person, who never made my task more difficult than it might have been, and was always helpful, and never interfered with anything I was doing. I did, of course, have two masters. A nominal master in the War Office, MI1A, I think it is, the section which is responsible for military attachés. And occasionally I really did some military attaché work. I mean, I used to help the colonel by interviewing various people and writing a report which went which he saw, and if he approved it, he went to the War Office. But my real master, of course, was SOE London, by whom I was paid, and one of my great problems was obviously with security. The last thing I wanted was that anybody in the embassy, on the embassy staff, should know that I had a secret function as well as an open official function of being assistant military attaché. And particularly in wartime, it is quite natural that a career diplomat, even if he's quite junior, thinks that he is so reliable that he's entitled to know everything that's going on. And people were constantly coming out to me to say, what are you really doing? And I used to invent all sorts of activities. One of my regular answers was that I was looking after Red Cross parcels and prisoners of war, which was about as innocuous as anything could be. And I used to help a lady who really was dealing with Red Cross parcels. And I got one or two people with special qualifications to help her in various ways. And there was one man in Lisbon who was well known as an Anglophile and a very well known character in world history, who was the last finance minister in the Kerensky government before the Bolsheviks took over. His name was Michael Tereschenko, Tereschenko. Who was well known in the city, a man of very high standing and intelligence, and the best linguist I've ever met. He spoke at least 9 languages fluently. Not that I could tell whether he was speaking correct Romanian, but he was speaking fluent Romanian as well as French, German, Spanish and Portuguese. He was, there doing a job for the Portuguese government, something to do with Mozambique. And he used to come to visit me in the embassy when he had anything which he thought of was of interest to report. And he was always concerned, being a man of affairs, that the embassy porter, like all embassy porters, who would be Portuguese, not British, would be reporting to the police the names of all visitors, including his name. It was obviously bad for him that he should get onto the police records as a regular visitor to a British military attaché. I mean, even if they knew nothing about SOE, which they didn't. And it was bad for me to have it known that I had a regular caller who was nothing whatever to do with military matters. I mean, it threw doubt on my authenticity as a military attaché. And so I arranged for Tereschenko to help the lady who was dealing with the Red Cross parcels and really didn't know much about the world in which we live. He used to call on her always. Instead of asking for Major Beaver, he said, "Can I see Miss Jackson?" And she said, "He's the most helpful man. He knows everything." And so this was the sort of, I won't say trick one had to play, but it's the sort of danger you have to guard against, and the sort of action you have to take when you're doing a clandestine job in a neutral country, even if it's a friendly neutral country. One of the greatest difficulties for anybody in my position or anybody else doing clandestine work in Portugal was that the Portuguese were, for the most part, with a few exceptions, so pro-British that they would go and tell everybody, "You know, I'm really quite an important chap now. I go and see the military attaché at regular intervals." That's the last thing, of course, I wanted them to be saying. And
can you remember the type of information that you got from Tereschenko?
I remember one particular interest, which was to me most unexpected. He had a house out at Estoril, and he came one day to tell me that he had discovered that it was owned by a German, and that they had recently started putting up something which was obviously some form of wireless installation. And I had the utmost respect for Tereschenko, but I thought, oh, well, this is, everybody tells you this sort of thing about twice a week. But I passed it on to the man who was in charge of counterintelligence on the British side, who happened to be an old friend of mine. And I never thought about it again for a long time. But many months later, shortly before I was leaving Portugal, my friend, who worked for MI5 and MI6 on the security side, said, "You know, that information you gave me from Tereschenko was invaluable. It enabled me to close the last link round one of the top German agents, and at this moment he has no agent who is not in fact under my control." And it was particularly important in Lisbon, because of the number of British ships which were constantly putting in to refuel, whether they were going across the Atlantic or around the Cape and so on. And the Germans spent a tremendous amount of time and money in running whore shops to entertain sex star British sailors, and in order to get them under the influence of drink to disclose the routes which they had followed on this voyage or previous voyages, or the routes they expected to be following on the rest of their voyage. And these rather apparently trivial matters are often of very great importance. And I know some article I read, not published during the war, but which I read in circulation when I got back to London in 1942, did say that the work done in Lisbon protecting the security of British sailors in a neutral port had been of immense importance.
What were your objectives in Lisbon?
Well, although I hadn't actually seen it, I knew that SOE, I was told before I left London, that SOE had and would continue to have directives from the chiefs of staff as to what they should be doing in the Iberian Peninsula. Sam Hoare virtually vetoed any effective activity in Spain. Our ambassador in Lisbon was perhaps equally opposed to SOE, as all ambassadors tended to be. But he was less of a politician and therefore less effective in achieving his own ends. He made my life very difficult and once threatened to, and once actually disclosed to Dr. Salazar that I was engaged in some secret work. I knew that the directive from the chiefs of staff included certain things. One was that when the enemy crossed the Pyrenees, which was expected to happen in April or May of 1941, I arrived in June, and I was told before I left London that I'd got very little time to do the important things.
You arrived in January?
I went out 2nd of January 1941. And curious enough, I think it was in a book on intelligence which I've got, that right up to the top, I mean up to Churchill himself, they were convinced on good rational grounds that Hitler in the spring of 1941 would follow on across the Pyrenees and try and take Gibraltar. In other words, British intelligence did not, in the course of that year, discover that after Hitler's meeting with Franco, which I think was in Ondine in France, And he was so infuriated by Franco's delays and prevarications and his perpetual talk that when the meeting was over, he stamped his foot and hit the table and said, this is the end. There's no good judge. Somewhere in the back of my head, I know the name of the operator. Yeah, Ferdinand and Isabella was the German code name, I think, for that operation. And he said, Ferdinand and Isabella is at an end. It's no good relying on this ridiculous man. But we'll keep Ferdinand and Isabella nominally alive. Spread the news that it is still imminent simply as cover for Operation Barbarossa, which of course was the invasion of Germany, of Russia. But we, the British, didn't discover that all-important piece of intelligence until long after. I think if you look up in the History of British Intelligence, of which I have one or two volumes here, it is now officially recorded and admitted that we didn't discover that all-important fact, and that Churchill himself was convinced of what was perfectly reasonable, but was totally wrong. And this course would apply equally to lesser mortals, whether in SOE or SIS or anywhere else. And so